This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Coming up this week, two dance performances. One is Jammu 2018 over in the Experimental Theatre at Aswara, our National Performing Arts Academy. I interviewed two from Aswara last week on Friday's show. The other dance performance happening this weekend is The Dead Bird, which marries two quite modern dance traditions, Bhutto and contemporary dance. This performance takes place at KL Pack. With me are three who are in Dead Bird, and they are Yao Lai Chi, Li Ren Xin, and Fu Chi Wei. Welcome.
Hi, Sun Heng. Thank you.
Thank you.
I suspect that many people, if not almost all, don't know much about what Bhutto is. BFN has talked about Bhutto on several occasions, but it's always somewhat fuzzy, even in my mind. What exactly is Bhutto? All I know is that people in white, something that started in Japan after the Second World War.
Yeah.
Lai Chi?
Yeah, I've been explaining many times to other people, but I also found it's very hard for me to explain what is Bhutto. It's also very fussy to me, and I keep questioning what is Bhutto also. But if you really want me to explain what is Bhutto, to me, it is not about only white makeup, slow motion and naked body performance. To me, it's just one of the style. Bhutto is a way to search ourselves and also to encounter, to find the authentic movements based on my body, my memories, and from that, as a result of my experience, the human experience in the current life, in the past life. Yeah, even the DNA that I have from my ancestor that passed down to me.
What is the philosophy behind Bhutto? What is the idea that is driving it? You know, you mentioned that trying to find the authentic self and from the authentic self come up with movements. One would assume every dancer on stage is authentic, or at least striving to be authentic. So Martha Graham, whatever the dance is, Pina Bausch, there is striving to be authentic. Chiwe?
Well, for my understanding, though, because I've been interested in this art form for a while, so I went to different workshops with different Bhutto dancer and master. And from my understanding is, because the last time when Hijikata, the person who created Bhutto, he was looking for something more authentically Japanese for them and for that time and for their body and all that. And a lot of dance, it was reactionary. It's like reaction to something else outside, either it's political, physical, or the time, or even artistically. So,
but isn't Bhutto something that reacted to what happened during the Second World War, and therefore it became a reaction of Japanese artists to what's external?
Yes, exactly. Exactly how it started. From that onwards, when the other Bhutto master or dancer practicing that, they later on the year, they couldn't relate to that anymore, because that was past. Because that happened after World War and not them anymore in contemporary way. So they need to find something more relatable to them. That's when they go internally and discover what is relatable. And a lot of time they keep telling us it's about authentic movement of yourself, ask us to find our own authentic movement. So essentially Bhutto is still dance. It's movement as well. Yeah. So when they say that, and I also reflect in the sense of what do I like about Bhutto. And what I like about Bhutto also, it's the visual aspect of it, and also how it make me go internally to find authentic movement of myself based on my body condition, my capability, my own innate feeling about movement, to try to project something more sincerely and more something that I can relate to through my own self to project a certain feeling or a certain concept to the audience.
But one assumes that all dancers are trying to be authentic and doing a dance, notwithstanding their training, to be honest and to be authentic and doing what is their body.
Yes, if I may, it might be a bit simplifying, but I think because I come from very contemporary dance background, so I'll make some comparison of my own observation and experience of it, my interpretation. So for me, when I think of contemporary dance, I think of the body performing in the space. Whereas when I think of Buto, I think the space is the body, the stage is the body, the body is the stage. So the body create the world on the stage. So the performance happen on the body and the body transforms. It's like more micro. It's like I invest very much in this very present moment and I go deeper and deeper and I listen more to different things in my body and sensitive of different worlds that is coming or brought forward through my body. I think this is some comparison I feel, maybe simplistic, but easier to visualize.
Is there a specific articulation of the philosophy of Buto? Buto is striving to do this?
To me, it's like, how should I say? Maybe I won't say it's philosophy. That could be my own way to search who am I. If philosophy, sometimes it becomes theory, and it lost the flexibility for Buto to find something new. Yes, so how should I say?
But it is not just movement.
Because no movement or just stopping is also a dance in Buto. Yeah, true.
A pause is also a dance. It's interesting that you brought that up because I have the same, because when I was searching what is Buto, few years back, I think 2014, Lai Chi's True Sobisha have a talk, an international Buto practitioner and researcher coming a talk at Ta College at that time. Mm-hmm. And I actually put forward that question. And I did say that from what they explained to me, Buto sounds to me is contemporary dance. And they totally agree. The panel say, yes, that's true. It is a contemporary dance.
Actually, I wrote down as part of my notes, Buto is an Asian contemporary dance from Japan.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Exactly. My teacher will agree with it totally. Because it is very strange that people say Buto is Japanese dance, and then they categorize as, traditional Buto, contemporary Buto. No, Buto is totally a dance to rebel. It is to find something new and to break traditional. So Buto is definitely a contemporary dance. Yep.
I like one thing that another Buto dancer say to me. He say, this is Furu. He say, Buto is punk.
Yeah.
What has the grotesque got to do with Buto?
Actually, I don't necessarily think of grotesque as how I understand Buto. Maybe the grotesque comes from when we really invest into the micro sensations of our body and it brings up some kind of nuances that is not in our everyday life. So maybe people read it first off as grotesque.
If I understand you correctly, then there are no specific moves that you would say, this is Buto.
Yeah, I won't say because like Hijikata time, why they have a distorted, twisted body, it is because as a result of the bomb that, explode and then the human body destroys. So they appear to be kind of a distortion and twisted body condition. But now we never experience war. So when I learned from my teacher, it is very hard for me to achieve what he wanted. And he said, okay, you have to find your own Buto. For your own time, for your own context, for your own experience. I'm a kind of a human, okay, living in this modern time. Everything is about fast, dynamic, and we easy to get anxiety, depression. So that create kind of a different types of body condition. So I become tense because I'm a person that very easy to get anxiety tense. So you will see my body condition is always like a tense movement, and I like to do something fast. So if you ask me to do something slower, like I was like, why always have to be slow? And now the trains move like a bullet. So why I have to resist? I have to be slow. So I will question all this.
Is your buto going to be slow or fast?
Basically, it's fast. Yeah, but of course, we will have. There's a strong reason why we have a stopping also, because if you want to find to realize what is time, on the river, the water is flowing and the leaf is moving across the river together with the water. So this timing is not strong. It's not obvious. If I put a stake in between and the stake is standing still, that makes strong timing.
Most of the time when I've seen buto, I'm drawn by the slowness of the movement. I don't know why. Maybe my own internal rhythms are slow. Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing as a Malaysian buto? Because we always talk about this. Is something I've already talked to Renzin about. Is there such a thing as a Malaysian dancing body? And most people will say, let's say, it's a Western dancing body. It's nothing to do with race, but how we have become acculturated. So, is there a Malaysian dancing body? Therefore, a Malaysian buto? Ah, Renzin is looking up at the ceiling.
Sure, there is. I think Lai Chi is actually working on this path, finding her own. Basically, finding her own, which is I wouldn't say Lai Chi finding her own represents Malaysia, because each of us also have our different little backgrounds. But of course, we also share a lot of things in common. So I think yes, sure, there is.
Maybe what we should do now is look at the performance that's coming up and perhaps understand it from the perspective of, is this a Malaysian buto? I'm speaking with Yao Lai Chi, Li Renzin and Fu Chi Wei, who are all dancing in The Dead Bird, a performance which combines buto and contemporary dance. In this first part of the conversation, we talk mostly about buto and its appeal and maybe a bit about its philosophy. Coming up, we'll look at the show itself. What are the ideas which inform this performance? This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture. And I'm Lim Soon Heng, surrounded by three dancers who will be performing this coming weekend at KL Pack. This full-length dance is macabrely titled The Dead Bird. And the three dancers are Yao Lai Chi, who is also the choreographer, Li Renzin and Fu Chi Wei. Turning to the dance, what were the inspiration, what were the seeds of this dance?
It started from a camp that I joined last time that we
a
had
buto
to do.
Camp?
No, it's not buto camp. It's just a retreat camp. I was sitting quietly and do meditation. And then the leader of the camp will ask us to imagine some pictures. And what I found is it was a dead bird in appear in my heart.
Dead bird.
Yes. I felt so curious, and then I tried to find out what dead bird means. And it means the day of the past and reborn for the new. So,
where did you find this interpretation of dreams?
Yeah, a lot. Some books, and also Google is very easy now. Yeah, I found a lot. And then most of the interpretation is about the death of the past and to reborn ourselves for something new. And then I also have a very strange meeting with an owl at Pulau Kapas. Very, very interesting meeting. I was alone that time, and then I went up on the slope, and I found there was an owl looking at me, just 2 inches in front of me, with his big eyes, so beautiful. But that time I felt a little bit dangerous. I don't know why. I felt he's not so friendly. Maybe I'm his food. I don't know. Right? And then I just leave, but I found he keep following me. And then stop in front of me again. Then I say, okay, I feel like he has something to talk to me. So I say, hello, and then I left because I feel afraid of this owl. And
was this in the daytime or at night?
Daytime, but about 7 p.m. It's the evening time, yep. And then I left quickly, but when I left, he fly, and then he grabbed my right shoulder very strongly. And I felt a strong pain on my shoulder. Yes, it was a very strange meeting. But then after that, I shared this with my friend, and she said, do you know, owl is a symbol, a messenger, symbol of messenger. I think this owl is trying to bring you an important message. And it coincidentally, and after 2 weeks, I received bad news from Japan that my teacher passed away, Yukio Waguri, passed away. So, and that time when I received the news, I was totally shocked because I didn't know about my condition of my teacher. And when he passed away, okay, I felt very, very confused and not safe because before that, he was my mentor. And
your support.
Yeah, my great support. And he helped me for everything. So when he passed away, I feel like, so what am I? So without him, what is my buto? Because all the time I perform his choreography. So without him, what am I and what am I supposed to do? So that time I felt like, okay, I couldn't continue at all because without him, I am nothing. So I decided to quit. Yes, I decided to quit. It's true. Because of some, I organized an event in the next year. There was one incident, very unpredictable. One of the dancers, she got pregnant. And she say, oh, Lychee, I got pregnant, how? And then the choreography from Japan, Yumiko, she say, all right, so why not, Lychee? It's a good time for you to perform, all right? You don't quit. Why not you perform? So she grabbed me back to the production. And then after I perform, I felt, okay, why not? Because I still find my passion of dancing. And I say, why not be brave, find my own buto? So I continue. And then the bird become a good inspiration for me to create.
I know you also looked into a Sufi poem.
This time.
The universal tree and
yes,
four birds. Yeah. Were you already aware of this poem?
I didn't aware at all at the time. Before this, I did a lot of research and I gathered a lot of mythologies and legends of birds from different countries. But I couldn't find a very solid structure, a very strong core of the piece. And then I say, oh my God, God, please help me, all right? It's close to the rehearsal time, but I couldn't, create the core of the story. And right after I say this word out, all right, I keep Googling, all right? And then it appeared to this this book to me, the Universal Tree and the Four Birds. And I quickly find out the book, right, the e-Google book. And it was the structure and the story that I want. So, oh, yes, I found this is the book I'm looking for. Yeah, the poem. Because this book is very deep. And it's very hard to understand, very complicated also, because one sentence will have double or even more than double meaning. So I only can take part of it, the important essence message, that which I interpret myself. And then I put that structure, like the four birds, all right, and the tree, but the tree didn't really assist us a lot in the piece. So I reconstruct the elements of the four birds, and then this is how I create the story of the piece.
Renson, what was the process? She found a poem. She had this idea that it's about birds. What happened during the first rehearsal or the first conversations you all had?
Actually, I joined in a bit later than Fu and Choi Wan. But when I joined in, the first thing Lychee gave me is an excerpt from the book to read. And it's mainly on the ring dove, the bird ring dove. And she said, this is your character. And I read it. It's a lot to do with duality. And I find myself able to relate to it quite well, whether in my work or in life.
Did you have to find an image for this bird? Did you Google ring dove, look at what it looked like, and then from there found a way to articulate what the philosophy wanted?
Actually, surprisingly, I had not, but I only Googled dove.
Maybe they look the same.
I don't know. I have not yet done that.
It's quite the same. It's just that they have this ring on their neck. Yeah.
Chiwei, yes. What were you told?
At the beginning, it's quite different from what we have now. When Lychee approached me, it's a subject matter of death and rebirth and self-searching and all that. And then I also received news of Waguri-san passed away, and it's a shock as well. Because we were having planned, Lychee having planned to have him back, and we were supposed to do something with him in these 2 years or something like that. And then also, I recently lost my dad because I was at his deathbed, and it was still haunting me for a while because I try different things, but it always go back to that, and I get very emotional. And I said, perhaps I can tap in that emotion to create, because like you say, you have a solo piece, like, oh gosh, what am I going to do? So perhaps I can do that. So that had been in my mind, playing with that, and I actually went to a Buto camp as well, and I used that and trying to create something for myself. I presented to Lychee said, oh, that's fine, that's okay. When Lychee has something in mind for me, and we play that out, and that totally gone, that scrap, because mine was a bit too dark, I think. Lychee wanted to find light in darkness, in that sort of duality, that sort of direction. And mine was a bit, I think I was dancing my sorrow out in that way. So that's out of my system already. So when she give me new role, it's completely different. I won't elaborate here because then you give everything away.
It can never give everything away simply because here we are talking with words. What you're doing is something physical on stage, in time, in space.
Yeah.
Lychee, what questions were you exploring in this dance?
I want to explore the fear of death. Death, I think, tangibly and intangibly. Tangibly is the death of the body. Yeah, so this is what featured by Fu in the piece. And the intangible death, for instance, the ego. People feed themselves with a lot of knowledge. Then they feel...
Lots of delusions and lies.
Yeah, so so in my piece, we have a death of the body and death of the ego. It means the knowledge of soul, the human knowledge means ego. And then the death of desire. But desire is also not easy for me to interpret. I would rather explore human fear against desire, not to get rid of desire. So this is what I'm trying to explore also. Because humans are so afraid of fear of death. So I'm so afraid to lose my knowledge, to lose this, okay, to lose my name and to lose my body. If let's say we die, then what happened? Maybe if we can explore the life after death, so maybe we will not be so afraid of death.
So at the end of the day, there is exploration of what lies beyond life.
Yeah, it is also part of it. And then I will also, how are we supposed to face death, confront death? That kind of a moment, yeah. Mm.
When Lychee explained like that, and even the topic, it sounds very morbid. But as I said earlier, Lychee was looking for lightness in darkness. So you might see not so much of morbidness. Maybe there is a lot of laughter and silliness as well to lighten the whole theme.
Four birds, so I assume four specific dances.
Yes.
It may be a solo performance. It may be a pas de deux performance.
Yeah.
Does each bird represent each particular struggle?
Yes, true. So this ring dove struggle about how she's going to face her desire. Yeah. And then eagle struggle about his own knowledge that he trapped in his own ego. And then the crow is struggling about the destroy of the body, the physical. Destruction of the body. Yep. So these three fears. So then we have a bird called Anka, a foreigner bird. She's actually a phoenix. This bird will try to, grab all the fear of these three birds and then burn into dust. And then a new bird reborn.
Well, when we talk about the phoenix, is the phoenix burns and then rebirth.
Yes.
Burns and then rebirth.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm. In the exploration, not that I'm even suggesting that you are giving us answers, what did you discover in this exploration?
At first, I just thought about contrasting qualities or approach in my physical performance. But later on, as I was able to watch some videos, I start to question things that like Lai Chi and Fu already feedback to me about how I share some sensations. And I start to question, maybe I'm very shy or... because I thought I already do something, but apparently it's not apparent. So I start to think about what is inhibiting me. How open am I, or how open would I like to be, and what kind of factors give me such kind of insecurity or openness?
So what's the link between what you just said now and this whole notion of desire?
I think right now that maybe desire is connected to insecurities, maybe. I feel maybe some of the things of deciding whether I'm open to do something or not is connected to what I really want and thus my insecurities.
Does it? So what must die?
Ego, maybe. I don't know.
Fear must die.
Yeah.
But Chiwei, you are the crow. She said the crow is about physical death.
For my role, I actually throw away my physical self and supposed to show my authentic self on stage, but also realize that when I play with my authentic self, then I just realize that I lost my physical self. Something like that. Is that cryptic enough?
Very cryptic. Must be seen to be understood.
Okay, maybe I would say that I was in purgatory. It's a flashback of life that supposed to be. So I have to play quickly a few things from different time frames and ages and things like that.
What is your discovery in all of this?
My discovery in all this, actually, for me, I tap into a lot of my own emotion. And like Lun Xin said, sometimes I felt that, am I too raw, open up on stage, so vulnerable? And I have fear. And sometimes my fear hinder my movement and my expression as well. So it's been a struggle. So every week, like you say, it's not there yet. It's not there yet because I hinder myself because I'm not sure if I want to reveal so much.
Because sometimes dance is to reveal our most vulnerable side.
But I think that's what performances are really all about. A lot of people who do not perform don't quite understand that. When you're performing, you are really laying bare. And the performer who can be totally vulnerable is the most interesting performer.
Yeah, it's the most honest performance, most beautiful. Mm.
As a rep, when I look at the dance that's coming up this weekend, can I tell what is Bhutto, what is contemporary? Or do they melt into one that I cannot see the dancer for the dance?
Yeah, I think now because I'm at the stage of redefining Bhutto. So this is why I also want to find Bhutto quality from contemporary dance. And to me, when I see three of them dance, all right, they are Bhutto. Yeah. So if you really want me to define what is Bhutto, it's very hard for me now. Yeah, because it's like a formless stage for me.
I've been speaking with Yao Lai Chi, Li Renxin, and Fu Chiwei. All three, including a couple more dancers, will be in The Dead Bird, a full-length dance performance, which takes place on Friday, December 14th, and Saturday, December 15th. Shows are at 8:30 p.m. Tickets are priced at 58, with concessions at 30 ringgit for students and differently abled and senior citizens. Beyond this concession, there are group discounts, so check KL PAC's website for details. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9, and thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.